bucket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Tuesday morning. Hour number two is now underway. Paul DeMarco coming up in about 30 minutes. We'll hear from him, so stick around for that. I need to roll through some text here. They've been piling up over the last hour, so we will proceed. Leo, referencing Pritchard, only one solution is 10,000 National Guardsmen permanently stationed at Pritchard on every street corner. Yeah, that's a little bit of an overkill. But, I mean, would 100 do it temporarily? You wouldn't need that big of a – you wouldn't need 10,000, no. I bet you could do it for under 100. It's not – you know, here's what the left does. They will they will conflate the National Guard presence with a law enforcement presence. But what they should be is more of a they're more of an observer, a deterrent. Maybe they intervene in a emergency situation. But, I mean, how would that look? Because it's not as if there's big commerce centers in Pritchard. There are a truck stop or two or, you know, things like that. But it's for the sake of this discussion, how would you do the residential landscape in securing that? Because here's, guys, I mean, this proceeds as it's currently on the path to do. And the sheriff walks away. There's no police force. It will be the National Guard. Or it'll at least be Aaliyah, but it won't be local. It'll be state troopers. That's not sustainable. We're already at a shortage there. Toothless Member, just Parish built a wall at the Orleans Parish line. Wall worked great. Sheriff Harold Lee regime. It did hit some snags, however. Discrimination, can you believe it? I don't think it's going to work here, though, to be honest. Butter Knife back for more. Craig, the game here is about winning. It's not improving problems here in Alabama. Look, you want these guys to be leaders? If you're a leader with no followers, you're just out for a walk. I think I'm quoting John Boehner. You got to earn the respect. You got to earn the vote, Butter Knife. And that's what it is. Butter Knife also writes, this race is a lot closer than you originally thought. Maybe Tuberville should debate. Trump would have the courage. Tuberville appears to be a little chicken. Trump didn't debate after the 16th cycle. Now, he did debate in the general election, but he didn't. I don't know. The presidential races are a little different. Unnamed texture. If you can't be governor, would that mean you can't run for? The rules for running for Senate and governor are very different. If that's what you're, I guess, getting at. You have to be a member of Congress, House and Senate. You just have to be a resident in the state the day of. There's a 7-year requirement in the Alabama Constitution. And what they did, and we talked about this before, when they wrote the 1901 Constitution, the Civil War was still fresh on the minds of a lot of those guys. And you had carpetbaggers come in and run for office as Republicans. Half the population was disqualified from voting, or more than half. she had these carpetbaggers come in, and the 1901 framer said, let's put in a requirement to make that a little harder. Squirrel Vereen. Democrats need to make up their minds. Doug Jones is saying crime is still raging in Washington, D.C., and they agree with him, yet they deny that is a problem to defend the city's Democrat leadership of criminals. Pritchard's supposed commercial center should be in Main Street, which is the focus of many proposed revitalization incentives. And comparisons with the quaint past and Highway 45, the left-wing ding-a-lings will accuse the National Guard deployment of racism, but the Guard was used in its oft-cited civil rights 60s to protect the black population. That's true. There seems to be a double standard. Sean! Jeff, thoughts on the NFL, whole NFL players coming back to college? Kiffin. Doesn't really bother me. I mean, it's a quasi-professional league. College football now. They let this problem fester for decades. Would I like this system? No. Probably not. Unless you had some kind of salary cap. But that's the nature of college athletics. Essentially, what I think you would wind up having is a sort of a football program that's just affiliated with the university. They're not really student athletes. I mean, they're not. Let's not kid ourselves. Do we think your major 1A, Division 1A programs are filled with these, you know, scholars just passing the time, their free time with an extracurricular? It's big business. So probably not for the best, but if we're going to do it, do it. It's like anything in this country. It's like our healthcare system. It's we had kind of half in, half out. Just do one or the other. Create a college-affiliated professional sports league, or just go amateur. I mean, Lane Kiffin, does it surprise anybody that he's taking this position? He is the villain right now. He may be one of the most hated guys in sports right now. I never thought Bill Belichick really lived up to that standard. The only reason people didn't like him is because he had like a 20-year-old girlfriend. But he's got to be up there. Ultra Runner, wait. Why does the migration to Florida flip it dark red, but the influx to Alabama nudge us in the opposite direction? Are we getting the dregs that can't afford Florida? No, it's the Florida phenomenon is a retiree, freedom-seeking, true believer. Think about it, Ultra Runner. If you're in one of these blue states, for example, you're in Oregon, and you don't like the culture, you don't like the politics, you don't like the onerous regulations, and you started looking around the fruited plain, you started looking at red states that you're gonna move to, and you're gonna set up shop and be an entrepreneur. Let me see, do I want to live in Slocum, Alabama, or Palm Beach? Do I want to have a business in Aniana, or would I rather set up shop in Santa Rosa Beach? I don't know, whatever. And I think you look at it, you're like, oh, I think I'm going to go to Florida. And then the other aspect of that Ultra Runner is it's a professional class. It is people who are in the workforce. This is the whole game with Alabama and economic development. They're not courting retirees. They're courting professionals, people who have jobs, people who are going to come in from blue areas who probably identify in some ways with Republicans, but they're not your standard issue right winger. Or maybe they're the people that make me cringe. I don't vote for the party. I vote for the person, you know, like those people. Old guy, Jeff, I spent a week in D.C. as a tourist in Obama's first term. It was beautiful, and the cherry trees were blooming. It was clean, and there was positivity in the air. The only negative was that it was budget shutdown, and Obama had the Park Service barricaded, many memorials. We stayed at several blocks of the White House, and we saw all the things. The Wall, archives, monuments, Lincoln Memorial, Smithsonian, and so on. I even saw a portrait of my ancestor, Chief Osceola, at the National Museum of Art. In those days, we had elections and went back to business, stopped complaining, and worked harder. America is on the wrong path now. But the Obama era was different. People would come from... There was like a Slate article about this. This is back when Slate was a thing. That's when I lived in D.C. during that time. And it was about... It was written from the perspective of a New Yorker... And going to all the like high society socialite kind of events, and suddenly he or she, I can't remember the author, they were talking about how events in DC were more on their social calendar than ever before, and attributed it to the Obama presidency. And I'm convinced that was a real thing. The restaurants, the bars were more crowded. Parking. But now a couple of things have happened in D.C. It's gotten more blue. There's been white flight. I mean, people moved to Arlington, to Bethesda. And I just think the whole, like, growth, rise of this Black Lives Matter, anti-police stuff really took shape in D.C. Jason, good morning, Jeff. Word from Mayor Day in Thomasville is that a plan is in place to reopen the hospital. Do you have any insight on that? No, but that's interesting. I need to investigate that. It is weird driving by that hospital and the parking lot being empty. Did the Call newspaper start its life in Citronelle, or is that a different paper? No, that's the same paper. When the Press Register went away, they expanded their operation into the city of Mobile. That was a big fight with my former employer, Lanyap. Brandon, Bradley fighting vehicles on every other corner. Maybe Coach could send in the National Guard. Wow, we still got a bunch of text here. 251-343-0106. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FN Talk 106.5. Stay up all night, sleep all day, I ain't at my best. Hey, yes, we are beer drinkers. Yes, we are hellraisers. People get out of our way wherever we go.
Come and be alive like I do every night from the heart of Uranio. I play a little sad and I play a lot of glad and a few old cheating songs. There's open everybody out in radio land. Find the love just as true as mine.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Tuesday morning. 251-343-0106. That's the text line. Paul DeMarco up next. So stay tuned for that. Real quick here. V-Man, 30 years, Pritchard has had nothing but corruption. Never changes. And you know, it's like, you're right. What do you do? Dave Texture, it's psychotic what happens to Pritchard. Dismantle law enforcement and then abandon them. And suggest that their only recourse is to let in a data center, which is going to affect everyone, not just Pritchard. The toxicity of data center will give Mobile County citizens cancer. I don't know about that. And not just Pritchard citizens. It's amazing how any of you people think you are in the club with the billionaires who bankroll these data centers. Delusional. Let's say it sounds like Ricky, but Ricky, it's too well written. I don't think that the, you know, this data center thing is actually a thing. It's like you're going to start plugging in data centers all over Pritchard. You know, I say this, I don't think these data centers are going to be around for long. They're a short-term solution we're going to learn. The data is going to get stored more efficiently. I mean, you think about the way they had to store data. Well, you know, old cassette tapes and disk and little thumb drives. And over time, that's going to change. It's not necessarily the data storage. It's the access to the data at a speed. You want to be able to, you know, those of you who remember the old dial-up internet, you don't want that kind of lag. They're going to want the data faster. It's that transfer of data where things get, that's why you need these big data centers. And I think that's just technology is going to improve that. The problem with the data centers, yes, they use a lot of electricity. We don't think that the water thing is a real thing. It's self-contained. And you're going to have these big box centers . What are they going to kind of litter the landscape? Does it look like blight? You know, they don't really add a lot of economic. They do initially with the construction, but what's your economic footprint? And it's not as significant as, say, some kind of manufacturing facility. But they don't burden your local infrastructure, school system, healthcare system, etc. UltraRunner, if you can afford West Palm Beach and you don't mind 90 degrees year-round and you choose it. If you can't, Slocum might work. Our influx is likely lower on the socioeconomic scale versus Florida. Does this affect their political leanings? But I don't think people are moving here to retire. I think people are moving here to work. I think the retirees who come to Florida, their politics are baked in. It's two different influxes. And that's the demographic. The guy who works at the defense contractor may be identifies as a Republican, but probably maybe has some neocon leanings or whatever. The person moving to Florida to retire probably subscribes to the Hillsdale College newsletter and watches a lot of Fox News, you know, and hangs out at the Villages, the community center. Fire dog, data centers cause cancer. Get out your tinfoil hats. I bet they employ mind control devices as well. You access the data center over 100 times a day if you have a smartphone and probably by texting the 1065 text line. Get over it, people. Daniel writes, regardless of it, data centers are here for long or not. The government private businesses have bought up all the rural property around it. Mike Pritchard's corruption will never change because it's not the land or area that's the problem. The people of Pritchard are criminally corrupt. And it's become generational at this point. How do you fix a completely criminal group of people that have been normalized it for over 50 years? V-Man, the answer to data centers is electric eels. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5. Chip Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Tuesday morning. 251-343-0106. Text me. Let me know what's on your mind. Will Hampson coming up in about an hour from PTO Public Affairs. Our Tuesday regular joining us now. Another regular on this show, Paul DeMarco, is with us. Paul, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Hope you're well on this Tuesday.
Hey, thanks for making time. You and I are just kind of talking about this, and sure, we'll do a little sports ball. Moving the Auburn game to Atlanta, I'm not crazy about it. I'm 50-50 on whether I'm going to go, and here it is on Tuesday. I've been to Atlanta a lot this year for Braves games, but this one's hard because I bought Auburn season tickets, and I want to go to Auburn. I don't want to go to Atlanta.
Yeah, I was talking to a friend of mine he's got some really good friends from Baylor, and they went out to Baylor last year, and his friends from Baylor said, "We're not coming because we have zero desire to go to Atlanta. We wanted to see the campus. Auburn's got a beautiful campus. It's got a beautiful stadium, and they wanted to really take part of the tailgating on a college campus." Jeff, what part of Atlanta are you tailgating in?
Yeah, well, the parking deck's there. If you've ever been to it's been a while, an SEC championship game, but that's what you do, or under an overpass somewhere if you know that Mercedes Stadium. But I mean, that's a nice stadium, but it's just kind of soulless. It'll feel more like a professional game or a bowl game. I'm not crazy about it. It's not a great experience. And I'm going to say this too, Baylor may be a bona fide program, but it doesn't really get me excited either.
Well, as most, I've got a lot of friends that still live in Auburn, and they're just like, you lose the touch, and obviously the small businesses that are going to lose out. Now, I know what they said. Well, we're bringing concerts to Auburn, and we're doing all this to make up for it. But you're still losing that game. And has anybody done an analysis, and maybe they have, how much more money does the school make by moving the game to Atlanta by not having it from Auburn? Because I know that's what it's about. It's about raising the money, NIL. That's where we are with college football now, college/pro football now. But what's the formula? What are the real numbers for moving that game from Auburn to Atlanta, Georgia?
Yeah, it's not the same. And yeah, they've done a bunch of concerts, and they did a card show, and they're trying to make it up to the local businesses. But that's fine. But that doesn't really check the box for me, the loyal fan.
Yeah, and like I said, if you're the small business owner, you're losing out. What are the dynamics there of how much more does the university make or the athletic program make by moving it to Atlanta? I mean, that's the number I would like to know, is that number. We know the community's losing money. We know Auburn and Lee County and the state of Alabama's losing money. So has somebody done a real in-depth study on the real cost benefits of moving it up? Is it just the athletic department that's making the money and everybody else is losing?
If it were a more high profile opponent, I mean, I guess I know Baylor, like Auburn's really not played like Cal, and they play these schools that, yeah, they're big conferences, Washington State or whatever, but they're not like, this isn't a matchup of the ages, Is this Auburn playing? I know someone we don't always play, like an Ohio State or
a Michigan. USC.
Or whatever. It's Baylor. It's just a box checking exercise on the schedule to schedule a power conference independent opponent. And there's no geographic ties. This leaves a lot to be desired.
Well, I guess we're going to see more of it in this new day and age for college football. And people expect that on the bowl games. But I think during the regular season, maybe at first you did but now I think people want to be on the campus. I mean, look at everything that Auburn has to offer, and Tuscaloosa for that matter. I mean, look at these college campuses now and the atmosphere and, everything. I know Ole Miss is playing in Nashville this weekend. They've got their opening game up in Nashville. I mean, I would assume the folks in Oxford are feeling the same way. Hey, why are you sending that money to Tennessee when you can keep it in Mississippi? So I'm sure they've got the same same thoughts as well.
Yeah, like I said, I just it just doesn't appeal to me, and I and I'm typically there, you know, basketball, football, but for some reason, and maybe it's just having been beaten down by a very lackluster program. I know you got a new coach. But it's just kind of a disappointment in general, and I wonder if I'm alone. It's football though; it's Auburn football, but I don't like the decision at all.
Well, and I know, look, Alabama's been to Dallas. I think if it were some, you know, folks like destination, but if you live in Alabama, how many folks are going out of their way to go? How many folks call Atlanta a destination if you live in the state of Alabama?
Yeah, it's if you're like Orlando or Tampa or something that was, you know, kind of mildly intriguing, but close enough to drive, you didn't have to, you know, get on an airplane. And I think it has more appeal. But I'd say this to the Auburn hierarchy, like, you better get something out of this, you know, giving away a home game, because that's. That's a losing proposition.
Well, will we hear that number? I mean, it's a public university. Aren't we entitled to know what that number is?
It's not even a monetary thing. It's like, okay, you're going to get some NIL money. You better sign some blue chips then with it. You better, you know, like we need to see some big time improvements here in the program. If this is going to be the new business model.
Well, I think it is the new business model. So I guess we all got to get used to it if that's the way they're going to run it.
Paul, $123 million in bonding capacity extended to the prisons, Department of Corrections to build prison. Do you feel $123 million safer today?
Not when I saw what happened last week, where someone was he'd been charged with rape before up here in our North Alabama, was released after, I think, 4 years to serve, was arrested again in July, and then got out on bond and killed a girlfriend, an ex-girlfriend. So here we are again with repeat offenders back on the streets. It's a broken criminal justice system in Alabama that is just yearning to be fixed. And I hope with the new governor in place, Governor Tuberville, and a new quadrennium for the legislators, they address some of these issues. I mean, it happens every week. What did we see last week's? Someone was accused of strangling an ex-girlfriend or girlfriend and was bonded out. We just keep on seeing it every week in Alabama. Over and over and over again.
Yeah, and you know, this is the thing about what they did. This is sort of a rhetorical question, but why are we doing all of these big things while Governor Ivey's on her way out the door? And the legislature is putting its rubber stamp on it. They could stop a lot of this, but you know, that I would feel better, you know, let's wait till the new governor gets here, and then you could decide if you need to borrow a bunch of more money or whatever. This to me is not a good way of doing government.
You know, here's one of the questions I would have is, there's no question we need the beds. We've got the Department of Justice litigation. We've got these issues. You know, we went with that first prison was, what, $125 billion? Is that right? I mean, $1.25 billion for the first prison. So this one's going to be, what, closer to $900,000?
Yeah, or $900 million.
$900 billion. I'm off by billions of billions.
You're leaving off a zero. $900 billion. Yeah.
Yeah. So, okay, so you have a $900 billion. Have we gone back and said, this is what happened last time to add all these zeros?
Well, they add the reason they added the zeros at Elmore County is it's going to have like an on-site medical and mental health and vocational training. And they added a bunch of bells and whistles to Elmore County. But let's get the beds. Let's get the cells, the capacity up. then we could. I mean, I'm not saying that this is not something that is valid and, you know, would crack down a recidivism. But you're kind of putting the cart before the horse here when you're doing these things instead of, like, just solely focusing on the public safety aspect.
You're right, because, you know, there was talk at one point of, like, oh, we're going to build these two new 4,000-bed prisons, but then we're going to close the old ones, which is just insane. I just wonder, I mean, are we really – that was really a thought at one point, where we'll build new prisons and then close some of these old ones. You cannot do that in Alabama. You do not have – you will not have the capacity to house violent felons if you start closing every one of the older prisons. So, you know, you're right. We're, what, 5 months away from the new administration?
New governor, yeah, but we have an administration that got us into this predicament, making a lot of these these are big decisions that are being made on the way out the door. And I, you know, my suspicion is they are, the powers that be are worried that a Tuberville administration would say no to this stuff, maybe. But the legislature does. The point is, the legislature didn't have to go along with it, but they do.
Well, I don't think a Governor Tuberville would have any choice but to build a new prison with everything going on. But your premise is correct. Is there's, whether it's highway money or prison money or bonding issue, they're going to go in, and how much ability will they have for projects that are the priority of the new governor? That who just got elected, who's saying, okay, hey, I was elected because of A, B, and C, because this is how much money we have to be able to spend on this. So they've got to be having those conversations and thoughts currently right now about, you know, future bonding ability to do all these projects. Because once they're started, you can't have the bridge to nowhere.
Well, you know, the 20-year obligation, that it's not going to impact the next governor, but the one after that, and potentially the one after that. You know, this goes on for a long time. And I mean, I'm going to say it, and you can react any way you want. I'm not convinced that this governor is the one who's calling the shots. It feels very Joe Biden-y to me. She's at a press conference in 5 years. She pops up every now and then when she's going to the local meet and three for a photo op to post on social media. Like, who's calling these shots? Who's making these decisions? It just doesn't feel right to me at all.
Well, and I think that's why it's important for folks like Senator Elliott, who has asked those questions during these committee meetings and said, you know, let's crunch these numbers here and think about all this. I guess when you get in a situation, the road money, I think there are lots of debates about priorities. When it comes to prisons, you've got to get them built. I just hope that we've had the lessons learned from what happened the first time when the huge budget overruns. Have we systems in place to keep that from happening again?
Joined by Paul DeMarco here on the program for just a few more minutes. Doug Jones, and listen, Doug Jones is doing everything he needs to do as a candidate right now. They say some crazy things, and one of the things he mentioned is some of the National Guard deployment in D.C. and was very dismissive of it. And I, you know, you spent time up there. I spent time up there. I think that National Guard deployment has made a real impact on safety there.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, absolutely. I was kind of surprised he said that.
I don't know. He's playing to a Montgomery base that is under the threat of a National Guard deployment of Tuberville's governor. And, you know, I think, I don't know if that's right for Montgomery right now, but to be dismissive of that option, of that on the table, and not even, you know, be willing to visit that as a you know, something you might need to do, because Montgomery has shown some criminal tendencies here in the last 5 years. That's troublesome. I don't think they're just planting flowers, as he stated. There is a benefit to having a National Guard presence on the streets. And, you know, and here's the other thing, Paul.
Yeah.
The city of Pritchard is about to have this lapse here. The sheriff wants to walk away. They can't get the city to agree to some kind of contractual obligation. And in addition to that, they have disbanded their police force. If you're not going to call in the National Guard, what are you going to do? I mean, maybe you can bring in Aaliyah or something, but we're already shorthanded there. To be dismissive of that, it just is a disqualifier to me.
Well, I don't know why you would. I mean, it's like everything else. Anything that Donald Trump does, automatically, it's dismissed. It has made a difference in Washington, D.C. I've got friends in Memphis. When the National Guard were all over Memphis, it was making a difference. There is no question. Places like around the country, some of these cities, and if Montgomery's like that and has had the problems, and we've seen the problems in Montgomery, if it takes National Guard, why would you oppose it? That is the most important job of any elected official is public safety. More important than roads, more important than education is public safety. So you do what it takes to make sure that you have public safety on the streets to protect the citizens. And if that means National Guard, you do it. And so I'm glad that the Governor Tuberville is open to it. And it made a difference in Washington, D.C. I was there when they're there. You have seen it as well. I've seen it in Memphis. I've seen other cities. You saw what they did in Jackson, Mississippi, where they made the kind of the Capitol Police in that area. You ask people in Jackson, Mississippi, it's made a difference. You have to have the presence there to make a difference. So I don't know why that's not the hill to die on to be opposed to more public safety. That really is not. But the Democratic Party with defund the police and some of these issues, that seems to be a continuing theme.
Paul, folks will find you online. Where can they look?
At Paul_DeMarco.
Check that out. Hey, Paul, we always appreciate it. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you. Take care.
All right, let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for being with us on this Tuesday morning. 251-343-0106. That's the text line. Ultra runner, excellent point. In the north, yes. Workforce in the south, no. Cyclists and bird watchers. Yeah, it's just the kind of recruitment or the kind of development in Alabama, I think that it has different stripes politically. But, watch that Madison County number on November 3rd. So that's going to be a problem for Republicans. Butter Knight, Jeff, I told you a few weeks ago, there's big news coming from Auburn, and this might not be the last. Okay, I'm waiting to hear it. And a texture, Jeff, the shot about people who describe to the Hillsdale News are probably being retirees really hurt my feelings. I'm in my 40s, still fully employed, and I get their newsletter. I think I'll go make a cup of warm peppermint tea and do a Sudoku puzzle to feel better. That's from Alan. I get the premise, too, somehow. I don't know how they got my deets, but being in this business for as long as I have. But I'm just saying that's more of a – let me say this, Alan, and do you read the Hillsdale College newsletter? Because I typically toss it into garbage. Mike, Baylor is one of the most beautiful stadiums and just in general areas around them. You could pull up a tailgate your boat right there at the Brazos River. Plus, if you're Ricky, you can visit the Branch Davidian compound. That's all of 15 minutes away while you're there. And I missed the opportunity to go last year. I forgot. You know, we got like a lot of stuff going on this football season. So I had to scale back a little bit. But the Baylor Auburn matchup's just not doing it for me. I don't. Maybe it's like Christmas. You need to hear some Christmas carols to kind of get in the mood.
Promise me, son, not
but right now, I don't know. We'll see. 251-343-0106. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
I hope you're old enough to understand. Son, you don't have to fight to be a man. There's someone for everyone.